Well, in a week where Hearts getting beat came as absolutely no surprise, it's left some absolutely rattled. My name is Jarvie, and I'm joined this week by Paddy, Simon, Cameron and Hammy. Together we are the Broken Hearts Club Band. First of all, boys, me and Paddy got absolutely Judas'd by Hammy in the match day programme. Just no mention for either of us. Not that we contributed, but still, these podcasts are a team effort.
You do know that Hammy, when three of us did write it before, just put his own name on it. So he's got previous.
I don't know what you're talking about. Liam, I don't know who that is.
Terrible, terrible patter. Poor Paddy was absolutely fuming.
That's not how I remember it, but we'll go with that.
I thought it was a great piece. Really, really good work, boys. Well done to the three of you. We've got actually a fair bit of news to talk about here. First bit of news, Robert Snodgrass signed for the Hearts. And Paddy, just remember, that's not Dorans that was in the Championship.
Better player. We signed him as a 34-year-old and he was 35 the very next day.
Is that right? Was it his birthday the next day?
Yeah.
Well, but while the stakes are high, you've got to get these players in before they get too old. What do you think? He's happy with it? I know we spoke about it as a rumour last week. And Paddy, I listened to it back earlier, Paddy's reaction immediately was, no, no, no. Paddy, what are you thinking now that he's signed?
Yeah, that was because I thought it was Doran, so...
No, I did think that, actually, yeah. You happy with
it? I think it'll be decent squad depth for the rest of the season, an extra body in, but it's not much more than that. Just got to make sure that he's fit. Mm-hmm. Like, because was it you telling us that he's not trained since May?
That's right, yeah, since his contract was up. So he's missed, well, he's obviously missed a pre-season with any club. And they didn't have anything to play for at the end of the season. So big break for Mr. Snodgrass, but he's looking pretty trim. Yeah. I don't think he's got a terrible injury track record. He'll be playing a central role for us. He's not going to be bombing up and down the wings.
Do a job in that boys' role in the league. And obviously isn't weirdly registered for Europe anyway because we waited till a week later to sign him. But he'll do a job in the league.
Yeah. I'm sure it was worth it, Cameron. We probably saved like 20 quid a week by leaving it that extra couple of days. So all that money goes into good upgrades at Tynecastle, as we well know. Robert Snodgrass. Sadly, the other rumour, which we tried to predict last week, Tom Rogic has signed for West Brom. Boo. Right, that's all the transfer news. We've still got a wee bit of time before the loans window closes. Does anyone know when it actually closes?
I don't think it matters. I think Nielsen said that there's nobody else coming in, so there's probably transfers done till January.
Oh, that's good. Moving on to where our money actually goes, the second screen was in place. for some reason, I was surprised to see it down that end of the main stand. But it's completely logical. Am I the only person that thought it would have been down the same end again?
Nah.
I think you were the only one.
I literally never even crossed my mind that it would be down that end, but completely makes sense. Yes, Cameron, I know. Should see his face. you enjoy it. Your own clock now, Cameron. It's official.
But the better one for me is the one in your stand anyway. I didn't look up to left once.
Really?
It's in a better angle. I'd have to go back over my shoulder and look past Simon, who's a lot taller than me, to try and see that screen. So I'm stuck there.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm the same, actually. Now that I know where the new screen was, because I did miss it for the first 5 minutes, it's better for me as well.
I'm surprised it wasn't just like in your peripheral vision for where you sit. It's pretty bright as well.
I eventually caught my eye. But I was late in. I was late to a game for the first time.
We noticed.
Potentially, yeah.
We were like, here, Jarvie's not even there. Because we thought we'd seen you in your big Arsene Wenger jacket.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't see you.
Nah, it was a hard one to decide if it was jumper or coat, wasn't it? Very much regretted not having a coat. It was pissing down.
Oh, aye, we were dry, though.
No,
just, big. We were like the first row of dryness.
Aye.
Oh, really? Nice. So am I, kind of, in the wheat fields, but wind was blowing it in. Horrible. Anyway.
This is what you're listening for, this.
Okay, if you're listening through Patreon, you're getting your
Jesus
money.
Jesus Christ.
Hi, screens and jackets. Moving on. The build-up towards that game, it was quite exciting, wasn't it? And the days leading up to it. And watching the Champions League games on Tuesday, Wednesday, we saw like the British teams playing in Europe graphics. We saw next to Cristiano Ronaldo and Saka of Arsenal, we saw Alan Forrest.
It just shows that they're doing absolutely no research into who's like the best stroke most popular player.
Well, to be fair, it was George Grant. Again, he's getting picked for everything. Must be the shirt number. And Barry McKay.
Aye. No,
who would you have picked, Simon? Who would have been your three?
Craig Gordon.
Yep.
Barry McKay.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Halkett, maybe? He's a handsome guy.
Hmm. It's a good shirt. Or a Kingsley. Or an Andy Halliday.
Aye. Any of the top performers.
Yeah. That was interesting. The big German Kiel was not in the squad, never mind starting on Thursday. That took a lot of us by surprise. Are we ever going to get to see him play?
I mean, it might or might not be a question by yourself for this week's Thursday night.
Oh! Well,
I'm already telling you I'm selling it because I do not think he's ever going to play for us.
Money well spent then. Money well spent.
Yeah. So at least we'll keep him fresh for another club when we sell him on.
Could have bought a third screen with that money.
No more screens, I think. There's too many already. There was a drummer on Thursday, and Cameron, you must have been delighted because he was in the wheat field.
This was news to me. I did not notice that there was a drummer at the game.
Me neither.
That's mad.
Good.
Yeah. Aye, it was good. I was happy that there was a drummer there. More than happy to support the drummers. However,
the young team create a bit of atmosphere. That's what they're fucking for.
Right. However, I beg the drummer to please rehearse. And find some rhythm in those rhythm sticks, because he managed to get the simple bang bang off the Viking clap wrong and out of time, which I didn't realise was possible. So work to be done, but listen, so does every department at Hearts at the moment. So that was the drummer. wee bit more serious news than the drummer. The Queen's passing. So notifications were coming through just as we went into halftime. Lots of people with phones against their ears. It was very, very eerie atmosphere at halftime, wasn't it? I feel like the weather added to it. We were wondering if the second half would even go ahead. Had that crossed your minds at halftime?
No. Aye. It did for me, because I noticed there was no announcements, there was nothing. All the adverts had went off, and I was like, something's up here.
Yep.
But I did, I think maybe like a 70-30. I was like, they can't cancel it at halftime, surely.
Mm.
But it was too quiet.
With it being a European game, I just didn't think there was any chance it was getting cancelled. UEFA would just be like, aye, sorry, but nah.
Yeah.
It would have surely meant we'd have had to forfeit the match, which would have only been a 3-0 loss. To be fair.
Maybe we should have.
They cancelled it.
That's a good shot.
That goal difference down. Fucking hard.
That's a good shot. But yes, when the players came out, it was kind of like, all right, so we are playing a second half. And what took me by surprise the most was that they all had black armbands on, because I was really surprised that the club shop had stock to hand them out, 22 of them.
Burn.
But in all seriousness, with the actual minute silence, it was never going to go well, was it?
No, as soon as it was announced, I was like, oh my God, this is going to go fucking wrong.
Yeah,
it's one of those things that the club would have been berated if they hadn't done it. They couldn't win in the situation.
I think they were told they had to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have been. What I think didn't help at all as well was the players got around the centre circle, Tynecastle's kind of lowering down to a silence, and then two substitutions are made.
Aye. So everyone sort of started trying to get everyone quiet before the referee had even blew his whistle.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then he blows his whistle to start it, and it looks like Craig Gordon thinks, that's it, and he looks to boost.
Mm-hmm.
And he realises that, no, that's just the referee beginning the minute silence, then all the shouting and the singing, and people not just shut up for fucking 1 minute?
That was exactly my thought. Like, aye. Regardless of what your thoughts are, like, it's 60 seconds, you've just got to stand there quietly. Like, it's not difficult.
Aye.
Exactly. I did wonder when the referee blew his whistle to actually start the minute silence and Craig Gordon walked away, that he just turned heel.
Those days at Celtic.
Celtic Twitter blown up. But yeah, that was a very tricky moment to police. And it shouldn't have happened. And the everything that did happen, very embarrassing, hitting kind of international media, etc. And like you said, Cameron, regardless of your views, either way, you just keep quiet for 1 minute. Moving on from that then to another passing. Chris Robinson has passed away in recent days. Let's say the controversial character was, however, at the helm and was on board when we won the Scottish Cup in 1998. And for that, at least, he will always be remembered fondly. Moving on to a much more lighter note, we have come to learn that the head of catering at Hearts is aware of our free kebab pie promotions and our continuous support of the best thing at Hearts at the moment.
I don't know. I'm in two minds, because the last two times, my stomach the next day is not brilliant after the kebab
pie. That's just your fault, right? Because I'm
doing the 10 pints.
I'm fine. Right? Don't you fucking dare, Cameron, right?
I had one on Thursday. I was fine Friday.
Exactly. Right.
Talk about turning heel. Failed so far.
I'm just saying.
Listen, I had five of them and I was fine the next day. So. at what stage does the kebab pie just become a fabric of the club and makes the boards like a mince pie and a steak pie? Like, how long does it actually have to be a pie of the month?
I think we're there already. They just didn't want updating it and they just go, listen, it's basically saying it's on the menu.
Yeah. It's but Hearts are upgrading everything at the moment. Surely it's the time to do it. But yeah, we came to learn that 800 kebab pies are ordered per game and sell very well. So there is no plans for it to end. Let's say Hearts fans were good at these things. Let's get those numbers up to 1,000 pies a game, shall we?
That's crazy that many people do not have a kebab pie. That's nuts.
Yeah, rookie numbers.
Aye.
I've got a catering question, right? It says noodles on the board.
It does.
I've never had them, but I have seen somebody order them. They come in like a wee box. And
no way, they actually exist. I thought they'd always just be like, oh, it's not in stock.
To be fair, this was a couple of years ago, though, so I've not seen them recently.
I went down the other day and they said that they didn't have any water in stock, and I was like, I can see water bottles.
For a tap?
Aye.
Well, we're no drink for the taps. That doesn't surprise me, though. But yeah, 800 kebab pies. Wonderful. Moving on to something else then. I wanted to have a wee look at players out of contract to the end of the season because I've had this in a note in my phone for fucking weeks, but we keep playing twice a week, so I can finally get it out there. Here is a list of them, so I want to hear what you think is going to happen at the end of the season or before then, before they're free agents, if you want to keep them, surely. Stephen Humphrey's loan will expire. We'll see what happens there, see if we want them or if we could keep them. Cameron, your favourite player, Gary Mackay-Stephen. I'm assuming this is his last year with us. What do you think?
It's a funny one because right now I think we need all the depth we can get. But I think he's probably somebody you'd look to upgrade from next season. If we're in that position. But
that's a year extension written all over it.
I agree though.
Mm-hmm. Liam Boyce, has he potentially kicked his last ball for us? What do you reckon, Hammy?
I think he has, yeah. Sadly, I think we'll cut him loose at the end of the year, which seems very harsh considering... Well, actually, no, we'll pay him through his injury and all that. But again, I think Boyce is one of these players we should be trying to upgrade on. How old is he going to be as well? Is he not going to be 34 or 35?
No, he's like 30, no. I think.
Wait a minute.
I think he's in the middle of both your estimates there.
I bet he's younger than we are.
31. Just right. Turned 31. So yeah, man, he's not as old as I thought.
Told you, younger than we are.
Maybe we'll talk about the month he was born and why he's just born.
He's a month younger than me and you, Jarvis.
Yeah, right enough.
Right. No, I do think we should be, again, trying to improve on Boyce. He's a hard worker and all that, but he's a striker.
Kemal Woody, 2-year deal for him.
I really wouldn't be surprised if we do.
I think the difficulty is that you come off an ACL and it's not an instant recovery. You know, it would take him probably the best part of that next season to get back into some shape. And by then you're looking at a 33-year-old player.
Aye, that's why we're giving him 2 years. So we'll get one year out of him.
And by the way, I think Boyce has been a very good player for us. I was just looking at their appearances, 87 goals, 35. So yeah. It's not necessarily, I think he's bad or he's not earned it, but we'll probably come to it, I think, maybe in the Istanbul game, but we should maybe be aiming a little bit higher with our player quality.
Yes. Okay, it's an interesting one. Robert Snodgrass is only on a one-year deal. We'll see how he looks over the course of the season, I'm sure.
He'll play well and get like a 3-year extension or something, and then you'll get an ACL and eat, sleep, rave, repeat with Hearts.
Oh God, Paddy's not on the best of moods this evening. An interesting one for you is Peter Haring. After all the contract aggro lasts in summer past, I'm thinking this will be his last. I think we do have an option to extend it for another year, I'm sure, or maybe even 2 years.
For another year, and we'll definitely take that as well.
I don't know.
You need pace in a team.
I don't know. So, I've got a feeling this will be Haring's last year with us.
Yep. I don't think he's the required level either.
Yeah, I agree, Hammy. I think it's kind of been, there's been evidence of it in a couple of games, but against, and I mean, I know they are a good standard, but you've seen how Cammy Devlin played. And if he's making double the tackles like everyone else in the whole of the Conference League, all you've got to do is just kind of get the ball and move it on. And he couldn't even do that. He was at fault for one of the goals because he just kind of froze on the edge of the box.
Yeah.
The occasion or whatever, I don't know. But it just kind of highlighted his maybe no. And I think maybe that's Kyo's...
Kyogo
coming in. I was going to say Kyogo, aye. Kyo.
I'll take Kyogo. Can we have him?
Nah, he's not big enough.
We could get rid of Gary. We'll send Gary McKay-Stephen the other way. We'll be fine.
Aye, that'll do.
But yeah, I absolutely think you're right, Simon. We'll come on to it with the Istanbul game. Josh Ginnelly, surely no.
I mean, he's playing. He is playing. He's getting game time. So, don't know.
I'd be surprised. Another good one for you, Michael Smith. All good things have to come to an end sometime.
Oh, yeah, I think he's done.
But not today, baby. Another year.
do you think that, Simon? Do you think he's got another year of football in him? He must be thinking about retirement.
I think surely he will. Aye, but no, actually, you never know.
Aye, I'm sure, I think he'll move to another club, but you've got to weigh up how his injuries are persisting, and you're paying these people at the end of the day. And if they're missing a lot of football, you're paying them for nothing.
Yeah. Oh, aye.
I think Michael Smith's already kind of had a bit of that thought, though, because he retired internationally. Basically, yeah. He spent more time at home.
Mm-hmm. I think he'll stay in Scottish football. I think he's well settled here with his family.
Arbroath. He'll go part time at Arbroath. No, they're going to get relegated, eh? The dream is over. See you later, Arbroath.
That was Michael Smith. Ross Stewart, big cheesy, Hearts best keeper.
5-year deal.
Bye bye. The next one will break my heart. He's definitely leaving. Ewan Henderson.
He's not staying. He's Nielsen, far too young to re-sign. Robbie hates young players.
I bet Nielsen can't wait to get rid of Ewan Henderson. Connor Smith surely gets a new contract.
Yeah, I hope so.
And Finlay Pollock bloody better get a new contract. I thought it was worth pointing out as well, speaking about Xander Clark, and is this the beginning of the handover? Craig Gordon's contract's not up until the end of next season, 2024. So it's a long while of rotation. Xander Clark's going to have to be patient if that is the case. And Craig, that doesn't necessarily mean that's when Craig Gordon's retiring either.
Doing a very in-depth handover. He's writing up loads and loads of data.
Now, if the ball goes up here, you put your hand up here, all right?
So, yeah, quite a few key players there. You know, I felt Liam Boyce is a starting player. Peter Haring is basically a starting player. So is Michael Smith. You know, it's a few key players that are probably going to be out the door in the summer.
It feels like there could be a big change in this squad.
Yeah. Well, I kind of hope that this summer, but...
I know.
We did make a good bunch of decent signings, to be fair, overall. But aye, that's everyone. Moving on, the Colts team, they haven't played since we last recorded. However, I do understand Bobby McClucky still managed to get a Man of the Match award in there somewhere, somehow.
Congratulations.
under-18s were meant to be playing Hibs, but it got postponed on Friday evening due to the Queen. The Colts are playing against a podcast this coming Friday evening, which will be great for their development.
Are they playing against Open Goal?
Yeah, playing against Open Goal Broomhall, who are doing very well.
Whereabouts?
It's at Broomhall. That's like... I can't remember where it is.
It's in Glasgow.
No, it's called Glide or whatever.
Not too far. I'll support them in spirit.
Right. When they're at the Odeon Hammy, we'll see them there.
Bye.
We do actually need to go to a Colts game. Big pyro and flags and that for Bobby McClure.
I feel like turning up's one step too far. That's when you know you've gone too far, when you're turning up where they live in that.
Won the Colts. Istanbul game then. Let's get to it. First half, by all accounts, was good, or should I say better than the second. Simon, you got some initial notes you want to run us through, and then we'll pick up some of the key stuff.
I mean, the only thing about the lineup that really struck me was Andy Halliday playing at 10.
Yeah, I think he didn't start there, did he?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I struggled to work out the formation at times. Aye. It was seemed very, very fluid.
I'm pretty sure for the off, Andy Halliday was in at 10.
See, I reckon he started at left wing back, but we changed formation like 10 minutes in.
Maybe. The other odd thing was the lack of fans.
Oh, really?
Did you think there was going to be Istanbul fans?
Oh, the lack of Istanbul fans.
Aye. Oh, sorry, yeah.
A couple of families turned up.
Aye.
Yeah, and Fenerbahce and Galatasaray tops.
Aye.
I thought I saw them. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
But I just thought that was so odd that, like, are they just... Why wouldn't there be fans? I don't know. Do you think there's rumour going about in Istanbul, like, oh, you just do not go to Scotland. They'll cut you up. They kill people up there. Like we were talking about Turkey. They're like, do not go to Scotland.
I am sure their average attendance is only about 2,000.
What?
I was going to say, so they're owned by, Paddy, you'll probably know, they're owned by the government or something in Turkey, and everyone hates them.
Aye, they're like a newish club, new kids on the block sort of thing.
I've seen on their badge, it's like 2014.
Hmm.
So, aye. They're like the RB Leipzig of Turkey.
And have they won? Yeah. They've won the league there, haven't they?
A couple of years ago, aye.
Yeah.
Right, they've just got loads of money and no fans, no history.
Tin pot.
That's wild. So, yeah. I looked at the lineup and I thought, that's all right. I mean, it's quite terrifying having two fullbacks at centre-back. But, I mean, I suppose you can count Stephen Kingsley as a centre-back with the amount he's played in a three. I mean, it's really different for playing in four at the back. But I thought they started okay, but you just noticed that the Istanbul team, the ball just stuck to their foot better. They took almost no touches and they were in against our back too. They were so good at like beating the press and everything. They're just a level above us.
Yeah.
I think our players tried to have too much time on the ball. I think there's no shame in maybe not long balling it, but playing a pass a bit sooner than trying to just play it about the back, because Istanbul just got set and just waited for us to make a mistake and just got the ball back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then, I mean, going into this game, I know we've spoke about the 10 points thing from the group and having to pick up basically a win and a draw.
You did.
off the two bigger teams. But that was obviously very light-hearted. But we saw in that game that they were an entirely different level from Hearts.
Yeah.
All over the park. An ability that even their width, Traore and the other winger just hugged the touchlines. No, our defence didn't know what to do.
They went on then to beat Besiktas at the weekend and Traore scored. So, there you go.
A little surprised. Some player. But I felt sorry for poor Cochrane. He had the hardest job.
Aye. Like, some days you're just going to lose. That's fine. Like, we can't... It would have been nice to maybe have a fully fit team and see if we got, like, a good game plan, see how long we could do and maybe nick something. But... Mm-hmm. But the injuries we had and what they are as a club, it was unlikely we were ever going to get in for this game.
Yeah.
However, we were fucking shite. Right? Yeah. We made so many stupid mistakes. Players just, I don't know if it was the moment or the stage or whatever, just making so many stupid mistakes. Andy Halliday was through and goal. He just needs to shoot with his right foot. What is he up to? Lauren Shanklin, just take a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Haddon, fucking pass the fucking ball. Simple mistakes.
I thought, Simon, the first half, we actually done no bad overall. 22nd minute, easy to forget. Peter Haddon had his header cleared off the line. We were almost winning against them.
Aye. If you were to be critical, he's got to put that away. But whatever, aye.
Yeah, there was just no pace on the ball when he's hit it. That could have been different. Like you say, we had Andy Halliday and Shanklin kind of breaking the lines. I mean, we're not a fast squad. We're not a big squad either. I don't know what
I can't act like. Obviously, teams at like that level are more athletic, so it makes us seem smaller and slower. But I do think there is a lack of pace in this squad. You've got, I mean, Barry Mackay's not fast, but he's quick.
Yeah.
And then you've got Alan Forrest, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Ginelli off the bench.
Aye, pretty much. It looked like that was our only kind of game plan. And I mean, to be fair, I think it was Alan Forrest and Mackay that were putting those through balls through. But through the first half, I thought we made a good account of ourselves. I thought we were pressing reasonably well. Cammy Devlin, obviously, was making... He only played 73 minutes, by the way, and he had twice the amount of tackles anyone else game week one.
What a man, eh?
He made almost all of them in the first half.
He's comfortably been our best player in Europe every week.
Oh, aye. He's been man of the match for our best player against Istanbul and both Zurich games, easily.
Yeah.
So he's really stepping up, to be fair to him. They got their breakthrough on the 25th minute, and it was the Haring mistake. I think the biggest thing for me as well is that not only has he not cleared it, how did he manage to turn around and face his own goal? The
aye.
Edge of the box. It's absolute fucking disaster.
Aye. Even then, it's a good take. Like, even after that, The boys absolutely fucking wallied it.
Mm-hmm. Aye, it was a really good finish.
But we shouldn't have given them the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Craig Gordon tried to make up for it 5 minutes later with a beautiful telly save, blasting off his chest. He could have easily caught it. Absolutely. No doubt about it. The stats at half time, we had 37% possession, which seems generous. And we only had one shot, and that was that one off the line. Humphreys came on at half time for Haring and actually thought, out of all the piss poor performances in the second half, Humphreys actually done really quite well.
He matched up to them physically. He seemed like he could handle that, no bother.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah. Really put himself about, making tackles, he had a few dribbles, even was making crosses into the box. Easily our best player in the second half. Their second goal was a header from a corner. Stephen Kingsley lost his man. We'll let you off this time.
I don't know if he lost his man. I think he went for the ball, misjudged it, and he jumps and it goes over him. And then the boy's just free. I think he thought he could get the ball. And completely misjudged it.
Yeah.
He does stop. It makes no sense for him stopping there.
Either that or he thinks whoever's jumping for it in front of him is going to win the ball.
Aye. Maybe he fought someone else's man. Maybe there's meant to be someone in behind them.
I mean, I don't want to point fingers, but I'm just watching it back now and Humphreys does jump in front of him.
I think he's going to win the ball. Aye.
Still, I don't think you should be stopping there, though.
He's still got to track him, aye. He's still got to go, am I? Until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Just, again, another terrible, stupid goal. That's an unavoidable goal, I think.
Yeah.
Unavoidable, not unavoidable.
Yep.
It's a double negative. Fuck off, Harry. unavoidable goal. Another one, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it avoidable or unavoidable?
I don't know anymore.
Non-unavoidable, I think.
Just all shite.
Exactly.
The third goal, their ginormous centre forward just charged through everybody and put Alex Cochrane on his arse. But there was a big deflection came off Kingsley, sending Gordon the wrong way. So again, that's another avoidable goal.
So maybe you can like hack him. Maybe you can take him down. But
no, I don't want to point fingers again, right? But Stephen Humphreys follows him a long way. Doesn't put a foot in. No, there was like three players, maybe even four, if you count Kingsley, that could have put a fucking tackle in. And
yeah,
I think we just need to be stronger there. But at the same time, I don't think we're.
He was. Do you see the size of his thighs?
He's fucking massive. He's brilliant as well.
Aye.
Yeah. Terrifying front three, really. Who was the boy on their left wing? It was like I can't remember his actual name. Traore on the wing in the big centre forward.
Strikers Okaka.
Okaka,
yeah. He used to play in England.
Serdar Gurla on the left.
Right, he was so skillful. And with Traore's dribbling and the big man in the middle, it's like, oh my word. We don't even have a centre back on.
It got to the point where even like a stray pass for them, we'd be like, yes, yes, if it went to the bounds in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of the difference in athleticism at that level compared to the SPL, I noticed it at the game in that even the linos are more athletic than the linesmen in Scotland. Boy looked like he could have got a game. The boy that was running the line in front of us, he definitely could have got a game.
Or the ball.
No,
absolutely not.
No,
that's a different level, Paddy.
Where are they from? Are they Spanish? I want to say
they were Polish.
Is it Polish? That thing? I'm thinking of one of the Zurich games. Fair play to the Polish. Yeah? That made it 3-0. The big Okaka goal 4. It was another deflection. This time coming off Michael Smith from kind of outside the box, sending Gordon the wrong way.
This is the first goal I've missed at Tynecastle since the beginning of last season. I was in the toilet and I came back and it was so quiet that I hadn't really realised we'd conceded another toilet. I looked up at the big screen and it said 4.
Simon, were you just not going to tell him?
I didn't even register that like anything was happening, man.
Don't you think that the atmosphere of the second half, after everything that happened, do you think that's affected the players on the park? Because it was a very somber atmosphere.
It was so odd that the atmosphere was so fucking like shite, and you could just feel the tension. You could feel that people wanted to just fucking get angry at each other.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I normally go to the toilet at half time. At the end of half time, but then I was wanting to see what was happening, the minute of silence and that. So I went to the toilet after that, and in the Wheatfield concourse, there was lots of very angry, shouty men leaving the stadium. It's absolutely furious. People shouting at each other, people on phones, consoling loved ones and that. It was just the most crazy atmosphere. It really was.
And I think you're right. I don't think it maybe like impacted the players that like they were too sad to play football. But I think in a weird way, it just kind of like killed the sort of feeling of the game, eh?
Yeah.
And then them scoring so many goals, it just kind of felt like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah. that was all 4 goals. We had a couple of breaks in the first half, but we really never, ever looked like scoring in the second. To be fair to Lauren Shankland in that first half, we did kind of see more energy like we did the first couple of games. In spells, he was pressing a bit more, but he really fell off again, didn't he? You know, for this marquee signing, meant to be coming in here and delivering, step it up.
I'd agree. The work rate doesn't look like it's there at points.
No.
I mean, the thing is, he's a poaching striker. That is what he plays. Like he wants the ball at the edge of the 6-yard box to tap in, and he'll do that for you.
Yeah.
But the way we are just now, you need more. Like you need more work rate around that. Because he's just not going to get those chances. They're not going to be there for him.
Mm-hmm. That was Shankland. There was loads of debate on what formation we played. I don't think there's anyone on this planet who knows the answer or could work it out. In Nielsen's post-match kind of comments, he said that the players had lost the plot in the second half and spoke about how they lost their shape and just couldn't get back into it. He did comment that he was happy with the first. Fair enough. I've got to say, Benielsen, that's the first time he's actually been critical in the squad in a long time. You know, how much he's protected them this season.
Huge, huge divisions in the dressing room. Huge.
What do you mean? Elaborate, Simon.
I'm just trying to get fucking foot grilled up. I have absolutely no idea. I mean, you can criticise the players, but you're bringing on like Ewan Henderson and Lewis Nielsen for like 5 minutes at the end of a game we're losing 4-0.
I know. I did see there was someone saying that they were sat near the dugouts and none of the players were listening to him when he was shouting commands and stuff. He said no one would even look in his direction.
Can't really blame them, eh?
Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to it. Yeah, Cammy Devlin had an amazing game. We've ran through that. Yeah, in terms of Nielsen, there was lots of furious people after the game. I think a lot of people were feeling embarrassed. I feel like people's expectations were far too high, if that's the case.
If anyone didn't expect that to happen, they're losing their mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think listeners will know I'm a very vocal Nielsen critic. A lot of us are. I've been Nielsen out more times than I could count. but you can't be Nielsen out after getting beat by Istanbul. There's no way. You go Nielsen out when we're getting beat by Motherwell. And you're drawing with Hibs. That's when you get on Nielsen out. Can't judge a man off the back of that. And that's coming for me. But how do you feel about it? Do you feel like he does need to take criticism in some way for that game?
Not for that game, no.
I don't think he had any other players to play. Like, I don't think that was it. Like.
Exactly. Who do we blame? Joel Savage?
It just seemed like, I don't know, like if you blame Nielsen for this, but it seems like there's just like a lack of effort for most people. And this whole being tired after 10 games, I just can't buy it. Yeah. I understand they're under pressure, but that's the life of a footballer, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a high-pressure job.
That was a PR disaster for Nielsen coming out with the fatigue stuff after the two defeats. It's mad to think just a week ago we were talking, we'd just been beat by Kilmarnock and then Livingston. You know, they are on a horrendous run here. And yeah, it's another big week ahead. In October, it's not looking very pretty either. So
yeah, but this is either the beginning of an unrelenting criticism, or it's you'll win a couple of games and it's just a slight dip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Read something which made me laugh. Someone was talking about how it's like when Tottenham came to Tynecastle. And there was expectations that Jamie Hamill was going to contain a young, rapid Gareth Bale. Those expectations haven't changed these years later with Alex.
Where did you read that? In an article? In the programme?
What was in the programme? I couldn't remember where I read it. Well, there you go. Fantastic content. That's embarrassing. Quoting the own podcast article. I knew I'd read it somewhere.
That's why your name's not on it.
Well, I just keep repeating myself in it. that very similar vibes to Cochrane trying to deal with Traore, I thought. You know, by all accounts, an English Premier League level player.
There's only some like so much you can do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But regardless, that's 3 wins in 15 with 10 defeats, 5 out of the last 6 without scoring, and no clean sheets this season. There should be
criticism. Get him out.
You know what's coming, eh? You know there's going to be bed sheets are coming soon if things don't start picking up. Not he doesn't start picking this up.
And it does feel like a very quick change, like even the second half, and I don't know if that was because of what happened at half time, but it got pretty booey and spiteful towards Nielsen very quickly.
Mm.
There was a lot of people shouting at Nielsen because we were quite close to the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, and it's really nobody's recently in any of the other defeats this season. We've not really had that.
Except that one guy.
I love that one. There's
that one guy. That one guy. This is behind us.
Aye.
The guy that shouts at ball boys. That guy.
I mean, I personally, it's all Toby Civic's fault for me. Well, things surely can only get better. And now, now let's start looking ahead. Hammy, you're going to kick us off as we look ahead to Riga.
Park away and don't talk a lot of shite.
Well, if you're wanting some morale boosting looking ahead to Riga, listen to another podcast because I'm about to read to you the social media comments about this game. I'm going to keep it short and sweet because it is very sad. One guy says, when the group was drawn, I felt pretty bullish about getting 6 points from our two matches with them. This match now gives me the fear. Another one says, no lesson will have been learned. Robbie will line up with three at the back and wonder why we're struggling. Another horsing on the cards. Hearts do not score. Another one says, can't see us keeping a clean sheet. Doubt we will score. I hope the local booze is tasty, though. 0-0, night of celebration as we keep a clean sheet. Robbie, if I'm honest with you, Nielsen will see it as a masterclass. Another horrible night incoming. I'm really not bothered already about this competition. You could feel the apathy at Tynecastle on Thursday. Wonder why we have even bothered qualifying. Anyone in doubt, we keep them for the league game on Sunday. Let's get out of this competition. Someone says Riga have a similar squad value than us. But somebody corrected them, saying, I thought that too until I realised I was looking at the wrong Riga. Riga FC have a similar squad value to us. But we're playing FK RFS, whose squad is worth about 60% of ours.
What fucking idiot. What stupid fucking idiot would make that mistake.
Some say it's the sort of game we should be winning. And undoubtedly, once we are, hopefully, a European side on a regular basis, it will be a comfortable win. But I think a draw is more likely. Remember, nobody has said we'll win. And just to finish off... there's a bit of advice for the young team I found on the very same thread. So listen up, young team. If you take pyros and set them off in Riga, you'll probably get shot. Don't fuck about with countries that have been occupied by Russia. Whilst I'd happily have less Union flags at the front of Section N, I don't really want 15-year-old Hearts fans being shot. So to all of you young team types, be warned. Latvia will fuck you over if you behave in the same arsehole way you do in Scotland.
What?
I bet it's a really friendly place.
I'm sorry, but I see more flares in Eastern European countries than any other fan base.
But by the way, you're not going to get shot in Latvia. Don't worry.
No, I'm sure Latvia is like a really nice, like civil country, isn't it?
Aye.
But, that just, yeah, that shows you the pessimism there is there. That if people think it's going to go so badly that people are going to get shot, which... I don't know how you think this game's going to go.
Let's
find
out.
What did you say about the 60% thing, Hammy? What was that about their wages or whatever?
They've got a squad value 60% worth of ours. I think it's according to Transfer Market, so probably right, not okay. Correct. But their squad value 6% of ours. The right. Other team is meant to be quite close to ours. I think I've seen somebody... say they're like a mid SPL team. That's the level that they sort of play at.
Probably so they're better than us, aye.
Well, considering that, then they must be managed very well. Here's some more stats before you think about it. RFS have played because since Paddy got this all wrong. RFS they've played 16 European matches over the last four seasons, and they've only lost five, and only once by more than one goal. They've picked up draws away to Ghent, Linfield, and now Florentina. And they've picked up wins away to Hungary and Slovenia. So that, you know, that must be a well-drilled side by the sounds of it.
Hey, they're going to beat us.
I'll plead like that. I thought this would be an easy 6 points, but then the more you actually look into it and then seeing them draw with Fiorentina yeah. makes me now... I think we're the whipping boys of this group. I think it's going to be bad.
Fucking how quickly things change, it. Terrifying.
I don't think it helps that we've been on a very poor run, and I'm pretty sure they just won today.
I'd like to know who's fully fit for the game. Like, is Halkett going to be in?
I've got some rumours.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there's an article from in the Evening News just come out in the last couple of hours. That's you're gonna say, Hammy.
Halkett's 50-50, apparently. Which right. I would say means he's gonna be out.
He's out.
I also heard and I read today that James Forrest was seen at the hospital Thursday night and he's now in a moon boot.
Well, that's all right, because he doesn't Hearts, play for us.
Oh shit, aye, the other one. Oh, he's late.
Andy Halliday's in mourning.
Yeah, that's right. Alan Forrest is apparently out. Nae Halkett, no roles. Well, who's still injured just now?
Benny.
Benny and the boys. Snodgrass can't yep. play.
Yep. Keogh won't be allowed to play.
Is he registered yet?
He's still waiting on that
permit. He's not even got a visa.
No. And the offices will be closed now for another day as well. Bank holiday.
So I'm not hopeful that we'll get a win out there, to be honest. No.
I'm probably never should have signed more players.
Terrifying.
I don't have the trust that Nielsen has a full plan. But I do put that down to us not having a full fit first team. That's obviously made it a lot harder for him.
I'm trying to think positively here. Before we started playing, before we played the Zurich games, I thought Robin Nielsen's set up perfectly for how you go and play away in Europe when you're a bit of an underdog. And I'll stick by that and I'll say we didn't do badly when we played over in Zurich. I know we got beat, but we didn't play badly. And I'm going to say we're going to go there and nick a win on Thursday. I fancy it. Set piece. If Kingsley's fit, a wee free kick and a wee penalty. Shankland, 2-1. 2-1 to Hearts.
Well, by ourselves going to be interesting if we keep this conversation up.
Cameron's raging when we talk about games.
Cameron's like, stop having a good time. I want to be in charge and no make myself last in the game that I should be last in.
I know. A big cheater. And just a quick word, but also playing Motherwell, that is actually going ahead on Sunday away from home. And that's a huge game now for Nielsen. Thursday's going to be hard. If we don't beat Motherwell on Sunday, which is a hard game, to go into that and expect a win, then yeah, it's going to be very Nielsen out the following week, I suspect.
Going into the international break.
Aye. Well, how long is it? 2 weeks, is it?
Aye.
He's used up all his sort of forgiveness points already with the results at Livy and Killy.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like as soon as Craig Halkett comes back and we're going to be unbeatable again. I am conscious of that. But anyway, Cameron, let's go then by ourselves.
Right, the update. I am last, along with you, Jarvie. So there we go. So to round up last week's nightmare midweek, the announcer to say Hearts of Midlothian, I'm putting it as a buy. We think he did.
We were listening
quite intently. I'm pretty sure he did. So everybody got that. I bought everything because I wasn't here. So yeah, Hearts to score. Yeah, there you go. Halkett to return. Luckily, he's put this up so late on social media. We already knew he wasn't returning. Good work, boys. Good work. And then kebab pie is still pie of the month.
Yes.
So the running totals, as I said, myself and Jarvie on 14 in last place, up to 15 where you find Simon, Paddy, Hammy, no, Simon, Paddy and Instagram, and then up to 16 where you find Hammy and Twitter. So there you go. All to play for. Here we go again. Another European tie. Looking forward to this RFS game. The first question, and you know it's never great when I start with this. Hearts to win.
Sell.
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 I'm going to buy it.
Boo!
Well done, Jarvie.
You booing Hearts to win, Paddy.
I'm also buying it, Jarvie. Stay in solidarity with the man at the bottom of the table then.
Hey, let's go down in big style.
At least we'll be happy. Anyway, Keo to eventually get a game. I feel like I already know where we're at on this.
What, against Riga?
Yeah.
Sell.
Sells across the board. Thanks for that. I'd actually put a little note and it says visa issues. So there we go. And the next one is two or more changes to the lineup from last week.
Do we have really two players that we could bring on?
I don't think Alan Forrest will play, so that's one, but I think you're right. Who do we swap out?
I'll buy it.
Nielsen might come back in.
Nielsen and Humphreys maybe start. I'm going to buy as well, actually.
I'll
sell.
I'm going to buy it, so it's Jarvie sell and everybody else buy in. There we go. And the very last one, we had 30% possession at home versus Istanbul. The line for this one is over 39.5.
Sell.
I'm going to buy.
I'm going to buy it as well.
I'll buy.
Right. Da, da, da. And with that, that's buy sell for the week. I will bring you up to date with our wonderful stats next week. I'm sure it'll be very cheery after last week.
Excellent. Thank you, Cameron. See you in the international break. Scotland playing, I take it.
Ukraine twice.
Oh, really?
And Ireland.
That's exciting.
Okay. Ireland of Hampden North could be a good night.
You'll be drunk,
Cameron. 4-0. No Andy Robertson either.
Right.
Andy Robertson out. No, just what you like to hear. Aaron Hickey, you'll be getting good, good amount of minutes now.
Kieran Tierney in as well. So, like, at least that's actually a position we're all right losing Andy Robb.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Well,
be interesting to see which one of our keepers gets a game.
Which one of our keepers,
Good point.
Good. Well, thank you, Cameron. Follow along. Christmas special coming early. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Hearts_podcast and play along with Buy or Sell. So getting late into the evening here. Join us next time as we look back at Riga and Motherwell. What could be a very tense podcast by that point.
The pitchforks will be out by then.
Well, aye. And looking ahead to some international breaks and try and pick up some other bits and bobs. So, aye, until next time, come on the Hearts and enjoy yourself. If you're going to Riga as well, by the way, enjoy your European jollies. Be our last in a long time.
Don't get
after
shot.
After we get through these group stages. Aye, babe, don't get shot. See you later. Bye-bye.